In one way, liturgically, today is the last day. Tomorrow is the feast of the Ascension. But we don't celebrate it until Sunday. Mostly because who can get there on a Thursday in the middle of a work week, you know? To enjoy and to learn and to be plunged and touched by the mystery. See, every one of our Lord's mysteries is a source of grace for us. That's why we celebrate them. There's a wonderful book on this. It's called Christ in His Mysteries. It's by Blessed Columba Marmion, M-A-R-M-I-O-N. And it's a new edition now, better translation and all the rest. But it's a wonderful book. You see, a mystery is an act of God in history. That's what it is. And so we celebrate these acts of God. That's what the liturgy is. But to be brought into that by the Holy Spirit, you see, is a work of energy and yielding. Energy, apply our minds. Yielding, go let the Lord bring us deeper. Well, I don't know why it always happens. We got two power-packed readings the same day and no time to go through them all. Anyway, here's this famous speech of Paul. Huh? Now, do you see from this speech, from the whole Christian understanding, the confidence that we can have in reason? He's arguing here from reason. Look around. Where did all this come from? Who made it? What must he be like? Confidence and reason. And it's so important. And so he's trying to argue here to this unknown God. And it goes along fine, as you notice, until he mentions raising Jesus from the dead. Now, see, the notion is in the culture. Nobody believes it, but it is. But in this culture, you're dead, you're dead. That's the despair that hung over this whole culture with all its achievements. I mean, this is Plato, Aristotle. You know, this is the artists, the playwrights, the great plays of this time. All this, but really not confidence that reason could ever arrive at what the meaning of life is. Now, in fact, it happens very seldom without grace. It's always with grace, but I mean without a conscious relief. But you see how the revealed vision of reality has such confidence in reason. And people have, I'm thinking right now of Justin Martyr. He was a philosopher, and he was searching. Most of them who came through that, like Augustine, they finally wound up Platonists, and from there they made the step, not without some remarkable work. But Justin has what is called a dialogue with Trifo. Trifo may be an imaginary figure, it's just his way of, but in any event. So he's talking about his own search. He was from Samaria, but he was a Hellenist, you know, he was a Greek speaker. And then he began to read the prophets, and he found God. And now, at last, I am a philosopher. Now I know the meaning of life, because God has taught it to me. Now I am a philosopher. And so that's what Paul is appealing to reason here. We give up on reason because we don't want to work that hard. But it's very precious. And it can be so easily twisted. Just pick up the newspaper. We should be praying a lot today, though. Huh? Today is the beginning of that assessment of Benghazi. This could bring peace to the country, or it could explode the country. And so we should be praying for that. Okay. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, my dearest friend, we have been together from all eternity, locked in a rhythm and dance of love from all eternity, unto eternity. That's the one who's coming. My best friend, the Spirit of Truth, you see. He will guide you to all truth. Does that mean you'll understand Einstein? No. Where is all truth? Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He will see. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. These things, now he's trying to describe what they've agreed upon from all eternity. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now it's beginning to work out in history, you see. He will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He reveals Jesus. You see the glory and the majesty and the fire and the love and the mercy of Jesus, the Word of God, eternal Word of God made man. That's what he reveals. And that is this most beautiful thing that could happen to us. You see? He will take from what is mine and declare it to you. And what's the very next line? Everything that the Father has is mine. This is a treatise, De Trinitate, but a real one. In some of the manuals, it's a disaster. But here, God, the Son of God himself, is giving us a treatise on what the Trinity is. What has life been like within the Trinity from all eternity to all eternity? This unbelievable love. You see? The Spirit will take from what is mine and declare it to you, but to tell you the truth, everything that the Father has is mine. And for that's the reason, because everything I have comes from the Father, from all eternity. And the Holy Spirit wants to draw you into that dance of fire for your joy, from your freedom, even now. And so that's why I said that he will take from what is mine, because if he takes from what is mine, he's taking what is the Father's and declare it to you. So as we start today, for those who wish, the novena to the Holy Spirit, beg every day, Lord, let me see your face. Lord, let me know you. Lord, strengthen me. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit. A friend of mine, dead now, great Franciscan, and a very deep mystic. And he was an Irishman. Anyway, he would say, when I want to find out where somebody's at in their own walk with the Lord, I just ask him, how do you relate to the Holy Spirit? That's the way you can tell where they're at. So we're getting ready now. We got these days to prepare for the feast. At that moment, at that feast, there is a new grace, new, never before in this world, available to the church and through the church to the whole world. Don't you think we need it? You know, understanding, love, freedom from sin. care for the poor. Anyway, we got to move on.